In a time like none of us have experienced before, there's strength to be found in community institutions like Iowa Public Radio. I'm Executive Director Myrna Johnson, and I'm so proud of the thoughtful, informed coverage IPR brings you on the issues that matter. Listener funding is the power source that makes it all possible. Facts, understanding, insight, that's what you fund when you give to this station. Make your gift now at iowapublicradio.org, and thank you.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. It's been nearly a year of pandemic living for those of us in Iowa. For many families, the pandemic has meant a lot of time at home together. Parents working from home, kids going to school from home. That's a lot of togetherness and a whole lot of dishes. This hour, we're going to talk about family dynamics in pandemic living and how the pandemic has changed our relationship with our homes. We do want to hear from you this hour. How has the pandemic changed life in your home? Has it created any conflicts over shared or not shared responsibilities? Have you come up with any new routines or solutions? Good things about all of this time at home. We'd love to hear from you. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. You can tweet us at Iowa Public Radio. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Brooke Overholt lives in Iowa City. She is a mother of five. Her oldest is 15. Her youngest was born during the pandemic. Her entire family has been going to school and working from home during the pandemic. Providing a sense of control has been a major part of her parenting strategy during this time.
My name is Brooke Overholt. We live in Iowa City on West Side. Really ridiculously monotonous things that give us a semblance of control in the midst of this time in our lives where the kids kind of just don't have a lot of control. They can be in control of their space. They can put things in order. They can move things around the way they want them to. You know, it's little things like that that make us kind of feel like, okay, we're on top of this. We still have a hand in the environment around us where we are, you know, stuck, kind of. Well, I've had to let go of a good bit of mom's way or the highway, right? Like if the 15-year-old, for example, if he gets his clothes from washer to dryer to back to his room, I don't like force him to fold everything beautifully and put it all away. Like he can be the king of his castle in his room as long as it doesn't look like a tornado has come through every single day.
That's Brooke Overholt of Iowa City. And to help us navigate some of the challenges of home life in the pandemic, Barbara Dunn Swanson is here, Human Sciences Specialist for Iowa State University Extension and Outreach. Hello, Barbara.
Good morning, Charity. Thank you for having us today.
Well, thank you so much for being here. Also with us, Dan Carlson, Associate Professor of Family and Consumer Studies at the University of Utah. Hello, Dan.
Good morning, Charity. How are you?
Good. Thanks for being here. And I want to start with you, Barbara. You and other people involved in Extension at various universities around the country, you've been actually studying how our family dynamics have been changing during this pandemic. Tell me about the focus of your research.
Well, I'll tell you, we have really wanted to get at the heart of how parents are managing all of the different roles and responsibilities that they are tasked with because of the pandemic. And so one of the things that we were able to do was we were able to visit with our extension professionals across the United States. A group of four states got together, and we decided that we wanted to reach out to our extension professionals and ask them, how are you managing the dual role, the role you play as an extension educator, offering education around issues, but then also being a parent, being somebody who's impacted too by the pandemic? We wanted to ask them, how are you doing? And they gave us so much feedback about their experiences being not only an educator, an extension professional, but also being impacted by the pandemic. And so some of those things I think that you will find similar to what Brooke said, you know, we are learning that we have to maybe let go of a little bit of the control. We know that we have to share personal living space. We know that our kids are safe. We're still trying to provide the boundaries, the routines, because we know we need to do those kinds of things, but it isn't always easy.
It's almost never easy, I think is a good takeaway. And let's just talk about some of the ways that that family life has changed, because we're all intimately familiar with our own situation, but sometimes it can be hard to think about how other people are impacted by the pandemic. I know a lot of people are experiencing isolation because of the pandemic. People with families have experienced an incredible amount of togetherness in this pandemic, right, Barbara?
That's exactly right. If we're all home because perhaps school is virtual and because maybe a parent's job has taken them from in office to virtual office as well, it means we're all under the same roof, but we're all trying to use the same bandwidth. We're all trying to stay focused on kids with their studies, parents with their work. And yet there are times when we all need to come together and have some family communication about how to make that manageable. Because, you know, when you think about kids coming home from school prior to pandemic, they might sit around the dining room table and get chores done, or dining room table and get their homework done. But guess what? Now we've got everybody around the dining room table. I don't think so, because we all need our personal space to hook up our computers, to make sure that our laptops are charged. We might even have to have additional headsets for all the kids so that they can do that virtual learning. But Charity, where is the headset? I know I took it off. Maybe it was in the living room. I can't remember. Or was it in the bedroom underneath the pile of clothes?
Oh, and you're in the middle of a meeting, Mom? I didn't even know.
Right. All of those things. So I think we have to give each other grace. And I think a lot of business and industry who have been doing this virtual work and learning, they've given people a lot of grace because they know parents not only are a parent, they've become the teacher, and they're still their professional. So they've got that role all wrapped up into one.
Absolutely. Well, and you know, constant distractions, because you're also surrounded by all of the things that need to be taken care of in your home life, not just whatever your kids' needs are or the barking dogs, but you also have that pile of laundry within your sight line, or that sink full of dishes. I asked people on my Facebook page to talk about how their chores have changed during the pandemic, and that was the number one response, was dishes. There are just so many dishes because, of course, we're eating all of our meals at home. So we're all pulled in all of these different directions. And Barbara, I think one of the most significant things about this, especially for people with younger kids, especially for single parents, is that the support system that they developed in their life, maybe the grandparents, maybe the neighbor, all of that disappeared because it's the pandemic and we're not supposed to be sharing space.
That's exactly right. What we know is that the parental roles increased, but the social supports, that caregiver resource, has decreased. And yet we know that we can still see grandma and grandpa maybe on a screen. We can talk to them on the cell phone and check in, but it's the physical support that those parents are missing that is creating some of their stress. And stress is a big component of this discussion, because when parents are stressed, then they have to find coping techniques that they can manage without letting that stress impact their children. Because as parents' stress increases, children's stress could also increase if we don't find coping mechanisms to deal with it. And so that's another thing that parents are really worried about, is how is our children, how are they managing the additional stress from not being with their peers, from trying to learn from home, from not being able to do some of the many rituals or even the sports games that we used to do, or get out and about with our friends, not being able to do all those things. Parents worry about how that stress might be taking a toll on their children.
Well, I'm sure. And of course, stress for a parent can mean a shorter fuse as well. I know a lot of parents have been struggling with that and feeling like they're failing in this impossible situation. And Dan, I want to talk a little bit about that shared workload in the home. Now, of course, a lot of homes have just one parent, but there are also many homes with two parents. And we see a real divide in our culture as far as the responsibility for things around the house. There's a gendered workload. Women have always done more of the work at home, and they continue to do so. How do we see that impacted by the pandemic?
Well, it's, you know, it's weird because obviously, you know, the amount of work that parents need to tackle is increased, as Robert mentioned. So, you know, you lose those care supports. We also lost a lot of domestic supports. You know, the reason why the dishes are piling up is because we can't go out to restaurants or can't send out our laundry, can't have people come in and clean our homes or things along those lines. So the amount of work that needs to be done has increased. And what we found very interestingly is that, you know, the percent of couples that are sharing the load has actually gone up, and not by a trivial amount. And so, you know, this is kind of the interesting point of this is that, you know, even though things have become more equal, moms are still doing more. And so, you know, we're dividing a much larger pie equally. And so what that means is that, you know, moms are still very much overburdened, even though dads have picked up quite a bit of the load themselves. So, you know, from our estimates, from our national survey, which we started in April and continued through November, you know, we found that before the pandemic, just about over a quarter of couples were sharing housework equally, and that increased to about 42%. In April, and that level has, you know, been sustained through the pandemic. And then when it came to childcare, only about 45% of parents were reporting sharing childcare responsibilities equally before the pandemic, and that increased to about 56% during the early days of the pandemic, and has since kind of reverted back to pre-pandemic levels.
Interesting. Well, we're going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment. We're talking about family dynamics in pandemic living and how the pandemic has changed our relationship with our homes, has changed life in our homes. You are welcome to join the conversation. We'd love to hear about life in your home. Are you guys in your family sharing the load equally when it comes to chores and all those dishes? Tell us about it. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. With me, Barbara Dunn-Swanson, Human Sciences Specialist for Iowa State University Extension, and Dan Carlson, Associate Professor of Family and Consumer Sciences at the University of Utah. This is Talk of Iowa. Brilliant novels, groundbreaking nonfiction, evocative poetry, great books, and insightful conversations whenever you want them on the Talk of Iowa Book Club podcast. Pick the books that speak to you or read them all. Subscribe now wherever you get your podcasts. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, we're talking about pandemic living, how it has changed life in our homes, how it has changed our responsibilities in our homes, how we're sharing the load as a family. Some families have come up with great solutions. Others of us are floundering. We'd love to hear your stories, your insight. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. You can tweet us at Iowa Public Radio. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And dishes are top of mind for so many people. April on Facebook says, I run the dishwasher twice a day now. We definitely go through more dishes. Sarah says, we don't have a dishwasher and I'm just about over the edge. Robin says, the dishes are one of the top causes for arguments in our house. Six people all studying or working mostly at home. At one point, we had to create new rules about how many dishes people were allowed at breakfast and lunch and exactly what could be eaten at those meals. Sometimes we do bonus order out meals just to avoid creating more dishes. And I have one large and one small dishwasher that get run 2 to 3 times per day each. 2 to 3 household members share the job. None of them do it like I would, but I let go of that one years ago. Oh, and other chores? I clean the toilets, my husband vacuums, and the rest. We are sort of working on it. I hear my kids have way more chores than other kids. If this is true, help me. We also heard from Elise Free. She is a single mom with a 15-year-old daughter who is now learning online from home. And during the pandemic, she's embraced doing activities she's never done before and also adopting some new parenting techniques.
So my name's Elise Free, and I live in Des Moines. But we started playing games a lot more and kind of delving into activities that we never really thought about. We're doing a ton of trivia. We're watching Jeopardy together. We just bought a puzzle. I'm not big into puzzles, but we're going to do that. It's really kind of trying to suck the joy out of things that you didn't really think about beforehand, because there were always so many distractions that you were able to enjoy. And now, when I wake up in the morning, I think, okay, what's our plan? What are we going to do? How are we going to make today something that is, we can learn from it or enjoy it? And I didn't used to have to think about that. It just kind of was like, okay, we wake up, she goes to school, I do my work. And now it's all about planning and trying to figure out what we're going to do. And that's all kind of on me to figure that out. So it's a big responsibility, but it's also kind of a freedom, because it's all on me, like, what we're going to do today. So it's good and bad.
That is Elise Free of Des Moines. And again, we'd love to hear from you. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. You can tweet us at Iowa Public Radio. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. With me, Barbara Dunn Swanson, Human Sciences Specialist for Iowa State University Extension, and Dan Carlson, Associate Professor of Family and Consumer Studies at the University of Utah. And Dan, you mentioned your national survey that you've been doing. Tell me a little bit more about that and the questions that you've been asking.
In very early April, we administered a survey to 1,200 parents in the United States, and we've been tracking them through the pandemic. Our interest was largely just in, how was the division of labor at home for partnered parents, whether they're married or cohabiting, how was that changing from pre-pandemic levels? And, when we first started the survey, I don't think that we were alone in thinking that, well, this is, a very interesting time, but we didn't know how long it was going to last.
Three months, we thought, right?
Yeah, we'll be back to normal by summer. And, it was, well, let's just see, what's going on. And there was a lot of consternation and concern about the costs, right, of these changes, especially for mothers, right? That all this work would come into the home that had, previously been outsourced, that schools were closing, that mothers would shoulder this burden, and that, there was concern that this was going to set the gender revolution back, 50 years. And so we just wanted to see, how were things changing? What was adapting? And so we gathered information on that, housework and childcare. We're also interested in how people's work lives were changing. Were people able to work from home? How often were they working from home? Who was an essential worker? Were people able to take paid leave? Do people have to pull back from their jobs, quit their jobs? So we tracked both unpaid work at home, but also what was going on in the labor force too.
And have you seen some trends? I mean, we've heard nationally that a lot of women have left the workforce. Is that something you're seeing?
Yeah. Yes. And a lot of it had to do with dynamics in the home. So one thing we saw was that, if mothers were doing the majority, almost or all really, of the childcare in their homes, in the early days of the pandemic, they had a 50% chance of leaving their jobs, or substantially reducing their work hours. And when it came to homeschooling their kids, moms who were involved in homeschooling, they had a 600% increase in the odds that they would have to leave their jobs voluntarily. But we also saw that mothers who were shouldering that load at home for homeschooling, they witnessed a 300% increase in the odds that they would lose their jobs involuntarily as well. So what was going on in the home certainly had a major effect on what was going on for women's paid work. And we didn't see any effects on men.
Really?
Dynamics in the home had no impact on their employment situation at all.
Do you also correlate that job loss or the job quitting that's going mm-hmm. on with the age of the children in the home? I've got a 13-year-old and a 15-year-old, and I feel so incredibly lucky. I don't know how I would have gotten through this if they were 3 and 5. Are you looking at that?
Yeah. So, you know, when it came to like how couples were dividing the childcare, I want to stress here that what I'm talking about, this division, I'm talking about what they were doing before the pandemic. So dynamics in the household before the pandemic seemed to really dictate what was going on during the pandemic in terms of how parents were arranging paid work and what they were doing with respect to their jobs. When moms were doing the majority or all of the childcare of preschool children, that's when we saw the major impact on their jobs. How parents were dividing the childcare, so to speak, of older children was really inconsequential because, as you know, they're pretty self-sufficient. But where we saw a lot of labor, a lot of increase in time, was with helping with school. And so, again, those families that were sourcing educational content, who were spending a lot of time helping their children, those efforts, those also seem to have a pretty large impact on mom's work.
Yeah. Well, and they may be relatively self-sufficient, but let's not undersell the amount of stress during this pandemic to those of us with older kids. Although, it's been far easier than if they were younger. But Barb, I know that you're working with families. You're doing a lot of family trainings online to help people get the information they need to make good choices. Tell me what your focus is with those.
Our goal really is to help families know what the research says and then for them to apply it as they can in their life. So when we're doing trainings with families, we specifically have a particular approach. We have the Science of Parenting podcast. And as we deliver those educational podcasts, we think about ways that we can share what the research says about families. And then we want to give families some strategies. We want to give parents strategies that they can use and then apply to their lives, because each family has a lived experience. Their journey is uniquely their own. Just like you said, Charity, depending on the age of the children, depending on how many are in the family, depending on what kind of social supports we have, depending on our unique temperament, all of these kinds of factors impact how I can maybe take a piece of information, some research, and then how it applies to me based upon all those different factors. So what we really are seeing is that when we meet with families, we try to allow them to hear the information and apply it to their family in meaningful ways. And I'll tell you, some of the things we've heard have really matched with what Brooke said and what Elise said, in terms of I have had to just let go of some control, in terms of not everything has to be perfect in our house. Or perhaps I maybe have let my kids have a little more screen time than I
a little
might have. Yeah. Than I might have before the pandemic, right? Parents are really trying to find a way to meet their kids in the middle, so to speak, so that we can have some of those family game nights, so that we can have family meal times together. We heard some really positive things from families about what they've experienced. And we've heard Elise and Brooke talk about those things too.
Well, and there are other factors that create stress as well. I mean, of course, we're all living in this pandemic, and many of us are living with health concerns, things that mean that we may be even more homebound or housebound than others. I know Elise through previous interviews, and I also know that her daughter has cystic fibrosis. So they are housebound because this COVID is something that could easily kill her daughter. And this is a scary, scary time for people. So Barbara, when we talk about stress, how do you take that into consideration?
Well, stress is a factor that we all have to consider. And even in when we think of how to mitigate that stress, physical exercise is one of the ways that we can mitigate some of that stress. It's one of those coping techniques. And Dr. Carl Weems, he's the department chair in human development and family studies at Iowa State University. And he was recently quoted as talking about the importance of maintaining some physical exercise, not only for the body, but also for our mind. Our brain is such an important part of the body, and our brain is firing all the time. So we know that when we have stress in really large amounts, it can be damaging to our brain. And so what we want to do as families is try to find ways to reduce the amount of stress we have. And exercise, getting some rest, sleep is still really, really important during this time. Eating healthy meals, and I know we're trying to do that as a family. All of those things can help mitigate the effects of stress as we are experiencing them now during the pandemic.
Dan, I'm curious, in your research in doing this national survey, do you get different kinds of answers from men that are participating in the survey and women?
Oh, yeah. they have completely different perspectives on what's going on.
All right. Well, give us some insight here.
Yeah. So, I mean, men say we're sharing it, and women are like, nope, I'm doing it all.
I'm shocked. You know, I am shocked to hear this,
right?
Dan.
Yeah. And so, yeah, when it comes to what's going on at any given moment, very, very disparate ideas. But one thing that has been consistent between them, which honestly, I'm shocked by this, given how different their perspectives usually are. They both agree, though, that things have gotten more equal. Like, they were both on board with, oh, yeah, you know, from before the pandemic in March to during the pandemic, we're sharing things more equally. But, you know, just to give you an example, men were saying, oh, you know, 71% of men were saying, oh, we're sharing the housework or the childcare equally, but only 36% of the moms said it was equal.
All right. So they weren't necessarily checking with each other before answering these questions either.
Certainly not. No.
So the fact that things are getting more equal in our homes, I mean, that feels very promising. And of course, we're in such a difficult time. There's been so much need and people are stepping up to the plate. Do you have any sense of how sticky this might be, Dan?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, it's gotten more equal largely because, you know, dads are doing more as opposed to, you know, moms doing less. And dads have been able to do more because they've been home. So they were working from home exclusively, or, you know, in the early days of the pandemic, they've been furloughed, right? They had been laid off, they had lost their jobs. And so being home seemed to be really the primary driver of doing more. But as men have trickled back to work over time, you know, we've seen, again, that surge towards equality dissipate, especially when it came to childcare. So on the one hand, it seems that, you know, the ability to be home really seems to be driving how families are dividing the labor, the unpaid labor. Do we remain in a state of elevated telecommuting, right? And I think a lot of companies have you know, become quite enamored with the idea of having workers work from home. And it seems that long term, we will, you know, see a lot more people with that kind of job flexibility, the ability to be home and to do more. And so that's very promising. Another thing that's promising about this is research on paternity leave. So what we know about paternity leave is that, you know, when dads are home after the birth of a child, they do more around the home. They're more engaged in childcare. They're more engaged in housework. And it also turns out that once that paternity leave ends and they go back to work, their engagement at home remains elevated. So to the degree that the fathers who have been home have been doing more, there is, you know, at least the potential, right, that that'll fundamentally alter dynamics in the home. And that the way in which, you know, partners were arranging childcare and housework might, you know, change permanently even after the pandemic ends.
Interesting. And will you continue asking these same questions as people go back into the workplace, or hopefully that happens soon?
Yeah. Well, please. That'd be great. I'd love to go back to work. I'm sitting in my children's playroom right now, like, doing this interview. Because it's the only quiet place in the house at the moment. That's our hope, right? Our hope is that we will be able to continue the study for at least several more years to track these parents and see, you know, how things play out. You know, what are the long-term consequences of this, you know, year plus that we've been in pandemic, and see hopefully that it's had positive, you know, impacts.
Yeah.
And hopefully that the negative impacts, you know, have been mitigated or dissipate.
We're going to take another short break. We'll be back in just a moment. Dan Carlson, Associate Professor of Family and Consumer Sciences at the University of Utah, is here, along with Barbara Dunn Swanson, Human Sciences Specialist for Iowa State University. We also want to hear from you. Send us email, talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, we're talking about how the pandemic has changed our lives at home and how we have adjusted, how we're sharing the load among family members, and how we haven't adjusted, what's not going well. We would love to hear from you. Give us a call. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at Iowa Public Radio. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. I asked a group of people on Facebook about this, and Tanya says, "My standards have been lowered. I had to clean a spot on my bathroom floor yesterday, and there was a real reckoning as to how bad things have gotten. And no, my efforts to enlist the help of my husband and teens in keeping up with cleaning the house has largely met with mutiny. My teens should definitely be doing more, but I don't have the energy to force it." Andrea says, "We're doing so much less laundry. It's crazy. Two of us are full time at home, and I can easily go 3 days in the same sweatshirt and leggings. If I hit 4 to 5 days, I start to feel a little disgust with myself, but just a little." Aaron says, "I bought a new set of flatware because even with running the dishwasher twice a day, we're always running out of spoons." And Elise Dubord has 2 school-age daughters. They're doing virtual school, and she's been surprised about how her children have adjusted and have learned to not only help more around the house, but also become more independent.
My name is Elise Dubord, and I live in Cedar Falls, Iowa. Well, since we're all home and we really do try to not leave the house very much, we're cooking a lot more than we did previously. But in general, we're cooking a lot more, doing a lot more dishes. My husband and I generally share the cooking and dishes responsibility. One of us will cook, the other will do the dishes, and we're also getting the kids more involved and taking responsibility for doing dishes too, emptying the dishwasher and helping get meals ready too. My kids have become more responsible throughout all of this experience because they have had to take on more responsibility in terms of their own schooling and also sort of keeping themselves entertained. I think they're getting better at figuring out how to use their own time in creative ways, figure out things like, oh, I'm hungry, I need a snack, I just go take care of that myself instead of always coming to us if they need help with something.
We are talking about how the pandemic has changed life at home. With me, Barbara Dunn-Swanson, Human Sciences Specialist for Iowa State University Extension, Dan Carlson, Associate Professor of Family and Consumer Studies at the University of Utah. And Barbara, I'm curious, listening to Elise there talk about how her children have become more independent, more self-sufficient. You know, this has been an incredible time of learning, maybe not necessarily academic learning, but incredible learning for all of us and for all of the kids who are living through this time. What are you hearing from parents about their thoughts about how this is changing their kids?
I think what we're seeing is that we can be very resilient people and that our kids have an awful lot of resilience about them. And it's because they have some protective factors. They've got those caring parents in the home or caring adults that really show that support of them. And their needs are being met. They still are in a home. They've got food. They have got a place to be and connect with other people. Protective factors are so really important. And I think a lot of the families are seeing that their kids are learning some valuable life skills, like, hey, we can help with the chores. We can help maybe cook a meal. We can get in the kitchen, learn to read a recipe, find the ingredients in the pantry, pull everything together and try to put together a good meal for our family this evening. Those are life skills. You learn them early. They're with you the rest of your life. So I think there has been some real good things that have come from this pandemic because kids are seeing that, you know what, mom and dad are doing the same thing we're doing. We're busy. We're trying to stay connected to our work or stay, you know, connected to the computer for whatever it is that we're trying to achieve. And so we have to help one another out. So providing each other support. Maybe it's even the siblings helping younger siblings with that homework. Maybe it's helping them with that puzzle so that they stay out of someone else's space while work is still going on. So, you know, I think they are learning that kids are resilient and that kids and families, they can look at this situation as temporary, not forever, just temporary.
And of course, there are good days and bad. You know,
yes,
I certainly
always
see my kids get along brilliantly on some days and not so much on other days. During the summer, they were pretty good about helping with dishes. But ever since school started, that has completely ended. Christina in Iowa City says, this is World War III in our house. Our rule is that one kid empties the dishwasher and the other one loads. You dirty a pan, you hand wash when done. I bought some scrubbers that hold dish soap in the handle. And yes, we're doing a dishwasher load a day. I also bought a magnet that says clean, dirty, so everyone knows what it is. That's the best $3 I ever spent. Dan, in your survey, do you talk to people about how their kids are coping? I mean, I know that there are some real mental health crises for young people feeling isolated during the pandemic. But again, I mean, Barbara and I were just talking about the incredible growth that we can see as well.
Yeah. I wish we did.
Next time.
Next time. When we put this together so quickly, again, because, you know, the pandemic seemed so pressing, like, oh, this isn't going to last long. We need to get data on this. Little did we know. And so we actually, you know, scrabbled together and got money to put the survey out there really quick. And we were really concerned about the amount of time that people, you know, would spend on the survey. And so one of the things that we wish we would have gotten more information on, but we didn't, was you know, children and how they were doing. If I may, I want to speak a bit to this resiliency of kids, and talk a little bit about educational expectations during this time. Mm-hmm. I think we've all seen reports all across the country about kids who are learning online and their failure rates and how hard it's been, for kids to learn online. I know my daughter, this is her first year in school. She's a kindergartner. She's like, I hate school. And that breaks my heart, right? To hear that from her. because online learning is not a substitute, you know, and when there's a lot of kids at home who are all learning simultaneously and bandwidth issues are arising and there's technical problems and the teachers can't be there and mom and dad are working, it's a very difficult time for all of us. And I think, you know, speaking to what callers and people on Facebook have been saying about just giving ourselves a break, I think it's really important educationally during this time to just know that, you know, we're all doing our best, and you know, these standards that we have for ourselves, we need to relax them a bit, especially when it comes to education.
Well, and I guess I also feel, and maybe Dan, you can tell me what you think about this. I do think kids are resilient and they will catch up. I mean, we've seen so many kids go through terrible things, refugee camp living and trying to learn in that environment and things like that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for so many of us, we've never had a challenge like this. But kids, by and large, often do catch up.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And, you know, I think across the board, I mean, I know it's like, you know, faculty member, you know, people are worried about their career tracks and everyone's worried about, you know, how this is going to set us off, you know, and we want to continue to meet the standards that we have for ourselves. But yeah, you're right. I mean, kids will rebound. You know, this is a year, you know, and I think it's like, we can think of it like a gap year. It's like, you know, everybody's gone through this, but there is still a worry about inequalities, right, rising.
Yeah.
Because some kids have better access to the resources to learn online.
Well,
know?
And some and parents other kids are better at helping their kids too. I mean,
and
we
have
all
the time, right?
Resources.
Yes.
Right.
For sure.
Well, and Barb, I know, speaking of helping kids, that's been another incredible source of stress for a lot of parents. I know I really impressed myself with my pre-algebra skills this year. Some parents, I know, did not have as good a luck as I did with algebra. I mean, Barbara, are you hearing a lot from parents saying, I just don't know how to help my kids?
We have heard that parents have been stretched. They've been stretched because they say to us, it's been so many years since I've taken algebra, since I've been in math class, and they don't do math like I learned it. And so those kinds of situations do cause parents that additional stress. Then they feel stressed because they feel like they're letting their children down. And I like what Dan said, maybe we can look at this as a gap year, that everybody is in the same boat. Here's the thing. We're all in the same boat, but we don't all have the same equipment on the boat,
right,
is probably the bigger analogy there, because you're right. We don't all have access to additional supports that are going to help us navigate this pandemic. But resilience is important, and it's important to maybe stop and ask ourselves as a family, what have we learned about our family that can carry us through to the next situation where we might find ourselves in stress? What have we learned that we can use to further my own profession? One thing for me is I learned that I could deliver educational programming via a computer or via online. And that was something brand new for me. I had to pivot pretty quickly and learn to do that. And so that was one asset that I'm going to take away from this pandemic that I might not have really seen prior. So parents not being able to really do as much as they would like with their children in terms of the educational content, we've got to give ourselves grace. We've got to give ourselves opportunity to say, you know what, our kids will catch up.
There are so many things that I've seen with my kids this year that my perspective has changed on dramatically. Like my 13-year-old will spend 12 hours playing video games while interacting with friends who are all doing the same thing from their home. And a little over a year ago, I would have forbidden this activity. You know, I would have said absolutely not. And now I see it as the thing that has helped him maintain social connections and really maintain his mental health. So it's been interesting to have to really rethink some of my rules and some of my standards. Are you talking with parents about that, Barb?
That is exactly true. There are so many families that are saying, you know what? I've learned that I have to pick and choose my battles. I have learned that I have to do a better job listening to my kids and really hearing about what their concerns are. And I have to be pointed and ask, because maybe they are, maybe they don't have the great understanding or way to put it into words how they're feeling. But we as the adults have to start that conversation so that they can open up a little bit to us and give us some feedback for how they really are feeling. Yeah, we were hearing parents talk about financially, they've seen some of their kids move back home because maybe their kids who had launched lost a job via the pandemic, and now they were moving back home. So now those families were learning to live under the same roof as adults, and yet mitigating the effects of the pandemic, trying to keep each other safe and healthy. So many, many situations that families who are on their own lived journey were experiencing during this time. You know what, Charity, I do want to say, though, that I would love to, since we were talking about stress, please let me mention the Iowa Concern Hotline.
Yeah.
For anybody that happens to be listening who just feels like they'd love to talk to somebody, it's a free hotline, Iowa Concern Hotline. It's answered 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and trained staff take your calls. And you could have a call about a legal issue. Maybe you've got a question about finance or stress or some crisis. We've got this available. The number is 1-800-447-1985. Again, 1-800-447-1985, the Iowa Concern Hotline.
And we only have a couple of minutes left here. And, you know, I don't want to make light of the really very difficult situations that so many families have had with financial problems, with health problems, and with the stress of being together. There have just been so many challenges that not all families have to deal with. But as we have about a minute left here, Dan, what do you want to see us take away from the pandemic? What can we do better when life goes back to quote, normal?
We can remember how we're all in this together, right? And that everyone pitching in leads to better outcomes, you know? And I think that you know, speaks to what we do within our family, but also what we do societally. And I think about supporting one another. And hopefully we take away the lesson, right? That when we do that, that we'll have better outcomes.
Barb, how about you? What do you want to see us do better in the future?
Well, I just think that we need to remember that we do have these protective factors that play a role. Our families are our first protective factor. Supporting one another as we're all caregivers in this situation is a protective factor. Trying to stay socially connected, even if it is via the screen, that still is a protective factor. And, you know, having our communication regularly with our kids so that we meet their emotional needs. Those are some real important protective factors that will serve us well as we all continue this road into our future.
Barbara, thank you so much for being here today.
You're so welcome.
Barbara Dunn Swanson, Human Sciences Specialist for Iowa State University Extension. Dan Carlson, thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Dan Carlson, Associate Professor of Family and Consumer Studies at the University of Utah. We've been talking this hour about how the pandemic has changed our homes and our life in our homes. Talk of Iowa is a production of Iowa Public Radio. Our producers are Rick Brewer, Dennis Reese, Matt Alvarez, and Caitlin Harrop. Our executive producer is Catherine Perkins. You never need to miss an episode. Subscribe to our podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for Talk of Iowa. I'm Charity Nebbe.